Dawn and Steve in the Morning. That's how you connect with us if you happen to be on Facebook. Just look for those names. We put the devotional up there. But we give you another way to stay in contact, and that's by texting. Here's the number, 800-555-7898. And if you text the word Devo, we shorten devotional just for
just
ease.
Those four letters.
So easy. D-E-V-O to that same 800 number. Then we'll send you the link to the Devo as you share it from James 4:8 this morning.
And that verse says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You ever go through a season where God just seems really far away? I mean, if you've walked with him for any length of time, you probably have experienced times where he seems far away. You may feel as if your prayers go unheard. Well, Jesus says that there's a simple reason for this and then a solution. If you are far from God, it's because your sin has separated you from him. Because God is unchanging. His character stays absolutely holy. His faithfulness, it remains constant. He doesn't change. It's we who change. We allow sin into our lives. Maybe not even aware that we're doing it initially. We choose our own direction. We spend less time with God. We're not in his word. We're not spending time in prayer like we once were. Then all of a sudden, one day you realize that you've gradually grown distant from God. Well, the solution, according to James, is pretty straightforward. We are to draw near to God. And as we realize our need to be closer to the Father, we begin to return to him. You ever think about the story of the prodigal son? That father, as soon as he sees the son on the horizon coming back, he hurried to greet his prodigal son. That's Luke chapter 15. So that began, though, with the son turning around, making his way back home. And if we are feeling far from God, it begins with us recognizing and realizing that, and then taking a couple of actions. First, as it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, you must cleanse your hands. You must cleanse your way of living. If you've been actively engaged in sin, renounce it. If you've done anything to offend or hurt someone, make it right. So that's the first thing, cleanse your hands. Second, purify your heart. That's Psalm 51, verse 10. You must make certain that your attitudes, your thoughts, your motives, that they're right in God's eyes and they're in harmony with God's word. Because Jesus warned you can't serve two masters. It's impossible to love anything else as much as you love God and still please God. So if he seems distant, do what's necessary to cleanse your hands, to purify your heart as you draw near to him. If you want a copy of this morning's devotional, as Don said a moment ago, just text the word Devo, D-E-V-O. Text that to 800-555-7898, 800-555-7898, or you'll find this linked at our Facebook page, Don and Steve in the Morning. This is Moody Radio. You know, sometimes you come across these stories in the news about animals, and you're like, oh, kind of amusing, kind of funny. There's one in Japan, and I don't know whether to feel bad for these people or to laugh at the story. Apparently, in southwest Japan, there's a city that's come under attack from monkeys. Monkeys. Just going after the youth and the elderly.
What?
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, okay, it's funny that monkeys are attacking, but yeah, they're actually trying to take babies and attacking the elderly. So it is a like legit problem.
Processing that whole statement. Monkeys attacking a city. Okay.
All right. There have been 58 attacks on people since July 8th.
Since July 8th. 20 days.
Yeah. And it's getting so bad that the city has hired a special unit to come in and hunt these monkeys with tranquilizers.
And relocate them?
Relocate them. Unless They have been found to have been one of the monkeys that have attacked humans.
Uh-huh.
And then they...
They're going to
put the monkey
them.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Apparently they're not interested in food. So traps have not worked. They are just, for whatever reason, attacking people. And they can't figure it out.
On first blush, that does make me chuckle because I've got it, you know, animated or something like.
Right.
This is truth is stranger than fiction. But then you start thinking about real life and real people. And that would be frightening. Then you go to, what, horror movies or something. Blech.
Exactly. So do you know what to do if you're ever confronted by a monkey?
I'm going to say I have not read that manual.
No, you don't know? Apparently, you do not look it in the eye. Don't make eye contact.
Really?
No. And then make yourself look as big as possible. If you're wearing a coat, doing whatever, spread it out. You want to make yourself look big so you're intimidated and they won't hopefully attack you, but don't look it in the eye.
Well, you won't have any problem with that second part. But me, on the other hand, would have a little bit more of a challenge. And, you know, I have this kind of really soft side and then I have that mama side. And I could just see me just staring it right in the eye and going back off. And then I'd be in trouble.
Exactly. Because that monkey's going to go, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You want to roll? Let's step outside.
You want a piece of me, lady? Come on. I'll take you down, and I'm probably about a third your size because I'm sure they're super strong.
Crazy because they're not real big. I don't know if you ever
picture them.
Yeah, seen the monkeys that they have that you see pictures of them all the time, kind of the red face, the big hair, and they're like sitting in the hot springs.
Oh,
kind of that famous picture of those kind of monkey. That is the kind of monkey it is.
I love their hair.
Right? So apparently... They love people a little too much now.
Too much.
So we're not in Japan, but I had a first the other day.
Oh, do tell. Like a southern thing or
a
what?
A first southern thing. Oh. So now I know what to do if I encounter a monkey. I did not know what to do the other night.
Uh-huh.
I'm driving home from football practice.
Uh-huh.
My 9-year-old's playing football and we're driving home. It's about dusk. The sun is coming down and I know there's deer all over
because
we're like doing... country back roads.
You didn't hit a deer, did you?
I did not hit a deer. I keep hearing that it's not if, it's when. Thankfully, that has not happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're driving down this country back road, almost driving into the sunset. Mm-hmm. It's dusk. It's kind of hard to see. And up ahead, I see what looks like some animal on the road.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, it's probably a deer.
Sure.
I'm going to slow down because the last thing I want is spook this thing. It runs right in front of the car. Now we got trouble.
Or on or through.
Okay. So I'm slowing down and I'm like, that's not a deer. That's a little too wide to be a deer. Is it a donkey? Mule? What's good? It's a cow.
What?
It's a calf. It's not a full grown cow. It's a calf. It's almost the same height as my car. Like I'm driving just a sedan and I look out the window to my side and like we are eye level with each other. That's how big this thing is. And we're going the same direction. He's going the wrong way. I think he was British.
I see.
Because he was driving on the wrong side of the road. And we look at each other, and we did make eye contact because I didn't know the thing about animals yet. So I look at it, and it looks at me, and we just kind of keep going the same direction. I'm like, what do I do? So that's my question this morning, not just to you, but if you listening too, because I was kind of puzzled. What do you do?
I was puzzled. Really?
There's a cow. Walking down a back road highway, like in the middle of nowhere country, there's farms on both sides, but like you can't really see farmhouses or whatever. And
okay,
I mean, there was one way off in the distance. I'm like, I don't know if it came from there.
Mm-hmm.
Do I call 911? It's not like an emergency thing. Does 411 work down here? If I make a phone call,
yeah, but do you get
it's going to take probably like 30 minutes before anybody can ever get out here because we're in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, who knows where the cow is? Can I go, like, push it off the side of the road? I'm like, I can just see myself, like, getting into this shoving match with a cow.
Love to have had video of. Yeah, yes. Like, uh-huh.
What do you do? So, if you know what to do, I'd love to know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in a situation like that?
So, you can text us, 800-555-7898. What do you do when you see a cow?
Right?
Walking down the middle of the road. That's a good question. There was, back in the day, before urban crawl.
Yeah.
If you'd have been on a country road like that, that farmer probably would have known, hey, that's so-and-so's cow, and known how to get in touch with him. But now, it's just so populated. You don't know.
Yeah. And I'm looking around going, I don't see any people. I don't see whatever. Now,
why didn't you get out and push the cow?
Right? Because I, it's one of those things in the moment, you're like, I don't know what to do. And now here's the next part of the story.
Oh.
Last night, I sit down after I put the kids to bed and sit down and turn to Susie. I'm like, you won't believe what happened last night when we were driving home from football practice. She goes, was it a cow? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I saw it again tonight.
No, it's still roaming.
It was going the other direction last night.
Well, it's going back home. It probably just went to a friend's house.
That's what I'm wondering. Did it go for a sleepover? Uh-huh. And it was going back home last night? I don't know. But if we see the cow again tonight, I need to know what to do.
Uh-huh.
So you can text in.
Good, good. Help Steve out. And evidently Susie too. 800-555-7898. It's Dawn and Steve in the morning. And sometimes you get into situations that make you laugh. Other times they're just consternating. It may not be monkey related. It could be person related. And what do you do? We want to talk about that coming up on Moody Radio. Steve, a first for you, city boy.
Yeah.
You have not seen a cow walking down the road.
You hear the stories.
Sure.
And you think, oh, that's what happens in the country.
Now you live in the
country. Well, now we kind of live in the country. And so, yep, I had a first.
Well, there, and you wondered if I see, because you saw the cow, Susie, your wife saw the cow, and now what do you do? Because clearly the cow has gotten loose. Kaylin, you're in Jolton, Tennessee this morning, and you said you saw one time out of the fence in Franklin, Tennessee, and you called the non-emergency police number and got the information to the police. That is excellent. And Cassie, sis, you're in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and you said, hey, this is the way to do it. I work for the sheriff's department. Steve, save this number.
I actually took a picture of your message, saved the number on my phone. So I got it, Cassie.
Yep.
Thank you.
Good advice, sisters. Thanks so much for helping a brother out. He needed to know. The city boy didn't know what to do when he saw the cow in the middle of the road.
Put it in a headlock and try and drag it? I had all sorts of ideas. And none of them were good.
And you didn't stop the car and try one of them. Disappoints me greatly.
I'm like, yeah, I could just picture myself getting trampled by a cow because I'm trying to do the Good Samaritan thing. So
you said it was a baby cow.
Well, it was a calf. It was a calf. Yeah.
Baby calves don't trample.
I could have manhandled that.
You could have taken him.
I could have taken him. Yeah. But I could not have taken. Cassie, you also said that one time you're driving down the road, you saw a bull trying to get back over a fence.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wouldn't have messed with that one at all. Horses coming up to your front door.
Huh.
I think that actually would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I think the biggest encounter that I've had since living in Tennessee was over in the Gatlinburg area. I had taken some young gals. We'd gone over to a conference over there, teenagers. They were in high school, and we're getting into the motel. And of course, the motel's the ones that open from the outside, right? The doors.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're walking down toward our room. There's a black bear on the sidewalk there that's up to the room. So, you know, your motel's stacked three levels higher, whatever. And there's just he's just ambling. And the girls are screaming.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely screaming and running away. I'm like, okay, that's probably not the best response. So he walks on down the corridor and he turns the corner and I get us into our room and I call the front desk, who is not at all flapped about this.
Oh, no.
He says, yeah, okay, when I get a minute, I'll come up there, but you might want to stop screaming. I can hear you from here. I'm like, okay. And of course, that was a separate building, the way some of those older motels.
Yeah.
He was in the front of the property. And I said, well, okay, we'll work on that. But could you, on the bear?
Bring the bear spray.
That'd be nice.
Get that out of there. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right in the city.
I'm not surprised. We were driving through North Carolina a couple weeks ago on our way to vacation. And sure enough, walking across the highway, there goes a black bear.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of cool to see him.
It is cool, but I just didn't have room in my motel room for him.
Exactly. Mm-mm. I'm not sure that I was in my car. I'm not sure I'd want to see him like eyeball to eyeball. Yeah, no. No, mm-mm. Thanks.
No. It's It's fascinating, and yet, yeah, you want to see that from a distance or through a camera lens or something that can keep you at a safe distance. But sometimes we find ourselves in an emotional spot that it feels anything but safe. And when you start rehearsing those things over and over again, you know what starts to take root?
Bitterness.
The root of bitterness.
And it is so nasty. Mm-hmm. And those roots go deep sometimes.
I'd rather see that through a camera lens or something that keeps me at a safe distance. But for some reason, this kind of stuff, it takes up residence pretty quickly.
It does, and it's hard to root out. And I think part of that is just because of our human and sinful nature. We tend to, when we're hurt, fixate on that. And just putting those roots down deeper and down deeper. Blake Gosselin has written an article for the Gospel Coalition, and he has talked about how bitterness is fed and then how to starve bitterness. If that is something that you're wrestling with, if that's something that those roots have taken root in your life and you want to root it out, how do you begin to do that? Well, first, you begin doing the opposite of what's probably been happening, and that is repeating the matter over and over to ourselves.
I never do that.
Never?
Never.
Nah.
Oh, no, I've perfected not repeating things over and over my... that's funny. If you ever talk to me, I repeat out loud, much less inside. Can you imagine?
Mm. But it's so easy when we've been hurt deeply to just let those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions, all of that just kind of churn and spin in your mind. And sometimes you don't know how to stop it. So that is one of the ways that bitterness is fed. Then we repeat the matter out loud, even. And as we go on doing that, we basically, as we're telling others about it, whether it's the person who's hurt us or people around us, if we're telling them, we're just continuing to carry that burden with us.
Mm-hmm, because you want that person that has hurt you, that has made you angry, you want that person not to forget what they did.
Yeah.
And so you're spinning that root of bitterness. If you think about it, you're almost knitting it and as helping it get down in deeply. And we want to fight that because God's asked us to trust him with this stuff.
Well, that might be how we are feeding those roots of bitterness and allowing it to take root, to grow in our lives. But if we want to get rid of it, you got to starve it. So how is bitterness starved? We'll talk about that coming up next here on Moody Radio. It is that love of God that is one of the things that can help us deal with bitterness. Because sometimes when we are hurt, when we are wounded, if we just simply allow those hurts to be rehashed and go over and over again in our minds, it can cause us to get stuck and allow the bitterness to grow. It's important for us to be able to talk about it, though, in a healthy manner, maybe with a counselor, pastor, someone who can help us work through a legitimate issue. But when we're repeating that with the intent to harm the sinner, or to justify our own sin, bitterness is going to grow. So how do we starve bitterness in our lives? Well, the very first thing is to remember the gospel. You think of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Let all bitterness be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you."
How I appreciate that the Lord knows. He knows our flesh. He knows what we're going to struggle with. And He puts his finger right on the wound to heal it and does that by telling us, "I see that the bitterness is taking root. Put it away. Let it go." Trusting in him and looking at the cross and our own sin and what he has paid for is pretty amazing. It's very sobering as well, because you start to see, well, as scripture would say, what a wretched sinner Paul said he was.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, if you've got it messed up, you know, it's just in our nature. It's in our DNA when we come into this world that we come with a sin nature. And it doesn't probably take 2 seconds after your feet hit the floor in the morning for you to recognize that. But it's also easy to forget about it when you're looking at the sin of someone else and allowing that bitterness to start to take root. And so repenting of our own sin and looking and recognizing. And then as you starve bitterness, rehearse the gospel. You mentioned, Steve, return to it. Tell yourself, speak the truth of the gospel over and over your life, in whether it's Ephesians 4 or whether it's 1 John 4, But I appreciate that this writer also says, go back to scripture and flood your soul with it. Blake Glosson does a great job saying there is truth about the fact that God really does grieve when you are hurt.
Yeah.
Don't forget that part. He cares. He sees. He is the God who sees. So he's grieved when he sees this evil come against you.
He is grieved. He also then is able to be there to be a part of our healing, to be one of those who comes alongside. He is the one that we come to with those hurts, with those wounds, and allow him to be a part of that healing process there. But remembering the gospel is so important. And remember his promises. You know, when we think about the fact that God is grieved, we can look to certain passages of scripture like Romans 12 that talk about the fact that he is the one who will repay.
Mm-hmm.
That person who hurts you will have to give an account one day. God also is pleased by your desire to forgive. And you know that there's actually reward tied to that? Proverbs 25 talks about that, Ephesians 6, Hebrews 11, James 1. So many places in scripture talk about the fact that if you have a desire to forgive, there's a reward attached to that.
Oh, I was listening to Colossians this morning, and just that inheritance that he promises us and the rewards that he gives us, it's hard for us to comprehend because we're trying to stay humble and we're trying to just serve him. And then we see those passages and we're not quite sure what to do with them. But the truth of how God has set up his kingdom, even in our imperfection, as we try to forgive and we realize we're revisiting it over and over again, maybe we're needing to forgive ourselves and we're imperfectly working through that process. Proverbs 28:13, 1 John 1:9 talks about his mercy, and he is always with us. That relationship with him, though, is where it all begins. Repentance of our sin and turning to Christ. This is such a great article, and we have put it on our Facebook page, easy to find, Dawn and Steve in the Morning, Moody Radio.